We know with certainty the reality that all sin is rooted in pride, self-love, self-obsession, self-orientation. And the whole Catholic life, the whole life of salvation, is about breaking away from that, which can only be done by grace. Because our concupiscence, our bend toward sin, that which is left over after baptism, is just too strong. Our passions tend to override our reason. And so we see the reality of what happens when your will and your selfishness are still in play, even though you have faith. Part of the key to understanding this pericope from the Gospel of Luke is that all 10 lepers have faith. All 10 lepers had either been moved by grace or knew by reputation what Jesus could do. And so they positioned themselves when they heard he was coming through, believing, knowing that he could heal them. And they even approach him with that proper ordered respect. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. It seems like everything is in play. The faith, the cooperation with grace. And that would seem to mean that they're okay and they're all fine. Further statement of their faith, rather further expression of their faith, our Lord is very clear. He says nothing except go show yourselves to the priests. Only the priest could declare the individual who had leprosy cleansed of leprosy. Leprosy is akin to sin. The gospel points to the reality of the power of Catholic priests to forgive sins, to heal, to cleanse a lepered soul through the power of Christ. And therefore, a man must go to the priest in order to get back into the church that he has broken himself away from by mortal sin. He can't declare himself cleansed. In the context of the gospel, our Lord is literally saying, it's done. Unlike Naaman, who had to dunk himself in the water those 7 times, the Lord just says, go, show yourselves to the priest. Which meant, you're cleansed. They believed him. They had total faith in that respect, didn't they? Because they run, they leave and they run to go to the priest to be declared cleansed and therefore ritually pure, which meant they could re-enter society. Which seems to be okay. And our standards, we would say it's okay. In fact, the first thing we would do would be excuse the 9 lepers who didn't come back. Oh, they were so excited at being cleansed. We can understand why they didn't come back. But that's not our Lord's reaction, is it? Our Lord in his perfection. Our Lord in his goodness. And yes, our Lord in his total humanity is offended by their lack of gratitude. Only one comes back. And that one was a Samaritan. The others were Jews. They should have known better that it was God who was working the miracle. And if they think our Lord is merely a prophet, then it's still God who is working the miracle, but is literally God, the second person of the Holy Trinity incarnate, that works the miracle. And our Lord, when the Samaritan comes back, glorifying God in a loud voice, falling at the feet of Jesus. Note the humility. 10 were cleansed, were they not? Jesus says. Where are the other 9? There's nothing in Scripture to indicate that the miracle doesn't keep. Our Lord is good. And no doubt they remain cleansed from their leprosy. He says to the Samaritan, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. Huh. So the Samaritan is smart enough to know to come back to God, to come back to Christ, and then wait for the permission to act in faith. Whereas the other 9 have been cleansed, and they take the faith that they have been given by God and make it their own without using Christ as the reference. How many Christians do that today, even in the church? Hijack the faith from Christ and not make it referential to Christ, but referential to self. Let us condone sin. Let us change the teachings of the church to make things more agreeable so people will flock to us. Hasn't happened in 50 years since the Second Vatican Council. The idea to address dogma and doctrine so that it would be comprehensible to people in the modern world and therefore draw people in droves. It's unfortunately done the opposite because the mission was hijacked to make not Christ the reference point, but man the reference point. The nine lepers had faith. Christ healed them. But then they take that faith and make it self-referential. It's all about them. Pride, the root of all sin, all the seven deadly sins. Pride manifesting itself perhaps maybe in a bit of entitlement. The nine Jews, because they're Jews, should be cured. Just as when Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees and chief priests who claim to be sons of Abraham, they feel like they are owed salvation because they do what God says. In other words, because I fulfill what God tells me to do, but my actions make salvation a requirement on God's part. So the whole working towards salvation is self-referential. It's about saving myself. Not about real, authentic union, communion, and the highest level of the spiritual life, self-abnegation, where God becomes more important than even yourself. This gospel pericope seems to instruct us on the reality of how the majority respond to grace. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. The path to destruction is wide, Jesus says, but the gate to heaven is narrow, and only the strong pass through it. Only the people that are willing to go the extra mile, the extra effort, which is only possible if you know Christ Jesus, because if you know him, then you cannot help to love him, not with that sappy sentimental love, but with a real love that is authentic by your will being disposed towards him. Then seeking him, not because he's good for you, but because he is goodness himself. And therefore you seek him for those you claim to love, because if you love them, it's not a warm fuzzy. It's your will employed to seek out what is in the best interest of the beloved. Marriage in and of itself proves that fact. When it's lived well, a married couple has harmony and peace. When it's lived selfishly, there's only discord and disruption because pride corrupts. Only the Samaritan returns, our Lord indicating already what's going to happen with the mission. The Jews are going to reject it and the Gentiles are going to accept it. Already indicating that there's no distinction now between Jew and Gentile. But it still is instructive to us to consider how it is within our usual propensity to want to run with the herd, to do like everyone else. And the majority here did not want to thank our Lord, did not take the gift of faith they were given and make Christ the reference point, but make themselves the arbiters of that faith. And when we live like that, and when you in particular live like that, as the laity, the light of Christ does not shine in the world. When Christ is not your reference point for your everyday work, your everyday duties, which you fulfill as a sign of your practicing the theological virtue of hope, when the world's falling apart around you, you still do your duties if you have the theological virtue of hope within reason. And if you're living for Christ, then people see Christ in what you do. But if you're living for yourself and you hijack the faith to make it convenient for you, they're not going to see Christ, they aren't going to see you. And we've seen that in the so many fallen clergy who made the faith their own and used it for themselves. And so many bishops who became more interested in serving mammon than serving God. And the highest levels in the Vatican, where there's a desire to abandon in totality what the church has taught for 2,000 years for the sake of appealing to man, for the sake of appealing to others, making the faith self-referential instead of Christocentric, centered on Christ. Step out of your life for a moment and see which faith you're living. The faith that is based on Christ or the faith that is based on yourself. One way you'll know that it's based on Christ is that you are always grateful to God. Everything you do starts with God. Everything you do ends with God in Christ Jesus. You do everything, your daily work, for Christ. You start your day in Christ. You end your day thanking Christ. In other words, Christ is the reference point for everything you do. Your work, your marriage, your studies, everything. That's what Christ is expecting. That's what he makes clear in this pericope. You can live the faith however you want. Your free will let you choose. But Christ makes it clear what he wants. And not because it benefits him. It doesn't give him the warm fuzzies when we say thank you. It benefits us to be centered on him, the only one who can save us, the only one who has conquered sin and death, the only one who gives us the graces necessary to overcome our concupiscence. And he's given us a state in life in which to do this, the sacrament of holy matrimony for you who are in it, and the sacrament of holy orders for me. And for those aspiring to marriage or the seminarians aspiring to the priesthood, this is the point. Make Christ the reference, the source, the goal of everything you do. No matter how minute the duty or how insignificant the study, whatever it may be grateful to Christ, be tied to Christ, because that's what saves us. That is the whole point of our presence here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. To witness again the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill, which is the only thing that saves us, and to show our gratitude, which is one of the four ends of the Mass, thanksgiving. We come to Christ to thank God. We come to Christ to be connected to God. We come to Christ for all the graces necessary to overcome sin, evil, and the Satan. Christ is everything. Live as though you believe that. And don't be an ungrateful individual like the 9 lepers who lived the faith only for their own benefit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Maker of heaven.